Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And today we're talking about the art of the big talk, stepping into the big red circle with my friend and colleague, Tricia Brooke. Tricia, we're going to talk today about how you can grow your influence, become a featured speaker on a big stage. And some of us naturally gravitate to the spotlight, while others of us might feel like we need a lot of coaching and some mindset work to gather up the courage to get on stage. So wherever you are on this spectrum of desire and confidence to match it, you will receive incredible insights from our special guest today, Tricia Brooke. So Tricia is an international award-winning director. She has worked in theater, film, and television for three decades. She founded the Big Talk Academy, where she certifies speakers in the art of public speaking, and she was the executive producer of Speakers Who Dare and TEDx Lincoln Square, and now the Big Talk Live. So she's currently being featured in a new documentary called Big Stages. She curates and hosts the Speaker Salon in New York City, the Big Talk, which is her award-winning podcast on iTunes and YouTube. So if you haven't caught that, grab that now. And her book, The Influential Voice, Saying What You Mean for Lasting Legacy, was the number one new release on Amazon in December of 2020. So welcome to the Life After Corporate stage, Tricia Brooke.
I am so excited to be here with you, Deb. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, I know from our past experience and bringing you on as a guest expert at Elevate Network that our listeners and our viewers have a lot to look forward to today. So the world's a stage, right? And for many coaches, consultants, and speakers, we long to get that coveted spot in the red circle. And maybe it's FOMO or fear of missing out because we see our colleagues and maybe they've booked a talk, or we've seen others who are now famous, like Mel Robbins and Brené Brown and so many others, where getting into the red circle has become the holy grail of speaking opportunities. It can really be a launch pad to a bigger speaking career and to more notoriety in your category. So you, as the former producer and director of TEDx Lincoln Square and in your speaker salon, what I notice is you have a very different approach to your clients than other speaking coaches. And I think it's because of your experience and your background. So tell us a little bit more about how you've come to where you are right now.
I grew up in Arnold, Missouri on a small farm, and my grandmother had an eighth grade education, never learned to drive the car, and I learned how to shoot a gun with my grandfather, and we would shoot squirrels and have them for lunch. This is where I came from, Deb. And when I was 7 years old, I saw my sister performing at a recital, a dance recital. She was dressed as a pink poodle, and I didn't want to be a pink poodle, but I thought, I want to be on stage. That's a thing. Dancing is a thing. And I enrolled in dance classes and immediately became extremely obsessed with ballet and Gelsey Kirkland and PBS and Dance Magazine and Baryshnikov. And my dance teacher started taking me to New York City. I was coming to the city to take dance class and to compete in dance competitions, and really knew that I would be moving to New York City to pursue a career as a classically trained dancer. Did exactly that. Had an incredible career in New York, dancing all around the world in opera houses in Paris, Lisbon, Palermo, Lincoln Center in New York City, Brooklyn at BAM, and realized that my legacy was limited and my impact was limited to the number of people in the theater and the length of the time I was on stage. Because dance is a fleeting art form. It's over. When the show's over, it's over. Realized that I wanted to really leave a legacy and impact the world and leave it better than when I was here. I've never wanted to have children. I've always wanted to have a great impact. And so I started making films, television, working in television, producing theater, musicals. And that was how I was having a bigger ripple effect by producing shows and working with actors who would go on to be in other shows and create this environment of kindness and love and safety, which wasn't necessarily what dancers experienced from their directors or choreographers. And that's where I realized I was a great leader. I was really meant to lead, and lead with loving kindness. Was minding my own business, doing my own thing. And my friend Petra Kolber, who is an influencer and an author and an incredible woman, reached out to me and said, "I just landed a TED stage. I want you to direct me." And I thought, that sounds super fun, just like a one-woman show. We'll work on intention, we'll work on choreography and blocking, and we did. And unlike working with my actors, where it's all about them, I love my actors, thought leaders, it's all about the audience. It's all about the message. It's all about the idea and the impact. And I was very inspired by working with her. Didn't think anything of it, and she planted the seed, Deb. She said, "You should do this." And I thought, do what? People pay for speaking coaches?
Yes, they do.
Apparently they do. Had zero online presence. I was not on Facebook. I was not on Instagram. I had absolutely zero online presence. Had a call with John Lee Dumas, and he said, "You should just do a podcast, like do 3 episodes, create some credibility around what you do and see if you can start that way." Well, over 385 episodes later, I jumped in head first, all of a sudden had all of these speakers, nowhere to put them. Word got out on the street that I was supporting speakers. I had nowhere to put them. Well, the best place to put speakers is on a TED stage. So I applied and got my license and became the executive producer of TEDx Lincoln Square. Absolutely loved producing the show, produced it for 2 years here in New York City, and determined that I wanted more creative control. So I stepped down from producing that show, began producing my own show, Speakers Who Dare, along with my co-producer, Jamie Broderick, and realized that I have this opportunity to amplify and elevate voices and help people tell their stories from big stages. And that was the lasting legacy. That was the ripple effect. Every single speaker I support, every single stage they step on, every person in that audience is being impacted by them. And that is how I got here today.
I love your story so much. And, you know, especially from that young child who just innocently followed her passion of wanting to dance and wanting to be on stage, and how your connection to your own soul's purpose has led to this path unfolding so beautifully and this desire to impact others. And if you're listening to the podcast and you're not seeing the video, behind Trisha is a blackboard with big love on it and hearts. And you know, that was the feeling that I got from you when we did that Elevate Network event together. I said, you know, I've spoken with a lot of speaking coaches, and you are so much more than that. And the love shines through because you take a vested interest. I follow you on social media, and you're always putting your clients who are speakers forward. And you're just as vested in their success as you are in your own, if not more so. And that's part of what your success is being so invested in other people's success. So that's why I am so excited to have you here today, because you're so in alignment with my own values of leaving a legacy by empowering others to have more confidence, to get out in front, to make a difference with your thoughts and your ideas. And that brings me to my first question, which is, how can you tell if you have an idea that's worth spreading? I mean, not all ideas are fit for a TED stage.
If your idea is meant to inspire someone to think differently and to potentially take action upon leaving the theater, that is an idea worth spreading. If you are teaching a talk through bullet points so someone buys your book or invests in your program, that is absolutely not a TED-style talk or an idea worth spreading. And for everyone who's listening or watching, the best book, the absolute perfect book for you to understand what it means to take a TED stage or to step into that red circle, it's Chris Anderson's book, TED Talks, The Ultimate Guide to Public Speaking. This is truly an art form. And if you want to step into that red circle, absolutely get this book now so that you can learn the language, because there is a language. There is a language of TED. There's an art form in these talks. talks that is different from a keynote. It's different from a panel. It's different from a presentation. It's really meant to serve the audience so that they adopt your idea as their own, think differently, and potentially take action upon leaving the theater.
That's amazing. And so it's not a webinar. You're not pitching your services. You're not making an offer at the end. It's quite a different experience. So once you have an idea that's worth spreading and you've vetted it, and what was that book again? We'll have the producers put it in the show notes as well.
It's by Chris Anderson, the curator of TED, and it's called TED Talks, The Ultimate Guide to Public Speaking.
Wonderful. So grab that book. But how do you get booked on a TED stage? And I've heard so many nightmare stories and seen so many nightmare videos from people who I know who've gotten booked at a TED stage and the lighting was wrong, the audio was bad. So there's number one, having an idea worth spreading. And number two is, how do you pick the right stage?
This is such an important topic, that the topic of vetting TED organizers. Let's go back to the good first, and then we'll move into the why you need to vet the organizers. Many people feel that they need to have an entire script written or believe they need to have their whole talk written before they can apply. Most applications have the same kind of format. What's your idea worth spreading? Describe the idea. Why are you the person to talk about this idea? And how is your idea going to serve our community? Those are the questions. Sometimes they ask for a video. Usually that's the first round. And if you make it past that round, then they'll ask for a video. And usually the video is between 2 and 3 minutes. You get sometimes between 200 and 300 words or one sentence for your idea worth spreading. That's why many people are afraid. And going back to the mindset, when you understand that your powerful message and your story and your idea worth spreading is meant to serve communities and is meant to be heard by that one person so that you can change and even save their life, all of the fear of applying will go away because you're doing this out of service. Taking a TED stage is going to give you that visibility and that credibility. And because the platform and the brand is so rock solid, you have an opportunity to reach more people. That's the first thing. Be sure and clear that you don't have to have a fully realized talk in order to apply. The second thing is to apply to as many events as possible using their theme specifically to your application. Applying to one event a year is going to be a little bit harder for you to land that stage than if you apply to all of the events that are open in current application season. This takes me to why it's important to vet the organizers. The one question when I was an organizer that they did not ask upon me applying for a license was, do you know how to produce an event? They didn't ask that question. There's a lot of organizers who love TED, who love ideas worth spreading, who have absolutely no idea how to produce an actual event. That means lighting. That means sound. That means video. That means a production calendar. That means a tech rehearsal. That means script analysis and support for you. This is not easy. Writing an amazing TED talk, an amazing 8 to 12 to 18 minute talk is very difficult. And if you think you're going to spend 9 months, 8 months writing this talk, memorizing this talk, and you get to the theater and the lighting is bad and the sound is bad, guess what? You cannot do anything about it. That lives online for eternity. Be really, really mindful of whose stage you decide to apply to be on. Super important.
So how do you do that when you're searching for, so this is great advice. Number one, your idea doesn't need to be fully baked. Number two, apply to all of them and then vet your producers. So how do you do that if you're applying to all of them? So someone comes in and says, hey, we'd love to have you on our stage. You need to ask them a series of questions. Is that right?
Absolutely. Do you have a tech rehearsal? Do you have a co-producer? Do you have a lighting designer? Do you have a stage manager? Do you have a tech director? I'd love to see the links to your videos from last year. How long have you been producing this show? If they're a brand new organization, they don't have anything to show you, which means you have to ask all of these questions. Will you have a tech rehearsal? Are you planning to go through my script word for word? Will I have any support along the way? Is there a coach inside of the program? program or inside of the event that I can reach out to if I have questions. It's really, really important that you ask those questions, because if you say yes to an event and they have done things like asked you to coffee 5 times before they booked you, it's only going to get worse. If it's hard before they give you a yes, it's going to get harder after you are on that stage. And also, do your due diligence before you start applying to all of the events. Go on YouTube and watch the videos. Go on TED.com and watch the videos from this specific event. The events like the big cities, TEDx Chicago, TEDx San Francisco, TEDx Broadway, TEDx Marin, TEDx California, TEDx UCLA, those big events are most likely going to be well produced. There is a new event happening at TEDx Rutgers Camden. They're brand new, and I didn't know anything about them. And I have several of my speakers who applied and were chosen. Now, they have shown me that they are doing a beautiful job because they're extremely communicative. I've already reached out and said, what does the stage look like? I want to know what their tech rehearsal is. They're doing a beautiful job with communicating with the speakers. This is new. I don't know how it's going to end, but it's starting really, really well, which is why it's important if it's a new event that you're in constant communication with the organizers.
And that's a wonderful service that you're providing, that you're actually helping your clients vet the producers and vet the stage. I mean, really, you impress me so much, Tricia. I'm such a huge fan. So now that we've got the talk, we've been accepted, we've vetted the producer, we've got the right stage, how do we really deliver a wow experience to the audience? You mentioned memorization. I know that's key. But what happens, you know, you get into that red circle, nerves can take over. How do you really deliver a great experience for that audience that reflects well on your brand at the end of the day?
It starts with the pre-production. It really understanding that you have to write a very powerful talk, which includes, for me, theatricality. I'm from theater. If you tell me you can play the guitar, I might make you play the guitar on stage. If you tell me you can dance or roller skate, I might ask you to incorporate that inside of your talk. So think outside of the box. I recently worked with a speaker who reached out to me and said, I just landed a TED stage. It's in India. It's remote. It's in 10 days. Now, normally, Deb, I would have said, run for the hills. If somebody asks you to do a TED talk in honestly less than 2 months, it's going to be really hard on you. They're clearly not organized. That's another thing that you want to think about. This particular speaker, however, had gone through the speaker salon with me in New York City, and she said, I've been channeling the talk. Now, I believed her. I believe that she actually could channel the talk. And we worked over a weekend together to write her 15-minute TED talk. Now, other part of this that was so important that you hear, and I want you all to go to TED.com and search for Jesse Johnson's talk. She said, I asked her, is this live? Are you going to be live streaming virtually? And she said, no, they want me to share a video. And I thought, the world just opened up to us, Jesse. I want a 2-camera shoot. I want a drone. I want you to shoot outside. You just moved to Sedona. The backdrop of your home is gorgeous. I want B-roll of you and your husband, and I want voiceovers and music.
Wow.
That is what I'm inspiring everyone to think about when it comes to the possibility of taking a stage, whether it's a TED stage or not. When you are thinking about the art of speaking, how are you going to impact the audience? Clickers and bullet points, ain't it? Think bigger. Think what's possible. Think through a theatrical lens. And I used to say that my event was theatrical academia. We would learn a lot and be entertained at the same time. That is what I'm talking about when it comes to the wow factor. Think bigger. Think bigger. Think what's possible. Show up as outside of the box as you can, because it is possible to inspire us through speech, through audio, through music, through visual. And that's how I want everyone to think about what it means to take a big stage.
So do you recommend that instead of just doing a compelling talk and doing a monologue from the red circle, that you actually include more media elements in your talk as well as needed?
If it serves the talk, absolutely. If you standing in one place, one of my speakers at the speaker salon, who's going to be taking the stage on November 10th in New York City, he's 11 years old. He's from Germany, and his talk is about how money can make you happy.
Wow.
His simple stance, center stage, the entire time, is all we need.
That's amazing. So there's so many inspirational stories, and but why don't you tell us one or two more? And then I'd love to hear, I'm sure our listeners are thinking, well, what are some of the mistakes that I should be avoiding? So you decide, do you want to talk about mistakes first or positive stories first?
There's so many positive stories. What I know to be true is that the process, if you are considering going through this process, it is transformational. It's not like any other experience because you have to memorize, you have to step into that red circle, fully realizing what this talk is and back to being prepared. It means treating this like a marathon, treating it like an athlete, doing your bicep curls, doing your pliés, which is the memorization. It means getting yourself in the mindset. If there's any tiny bit of not being worthy, you're going to hold back when you step into that circle. You are worthy. Your voice matters. That circle is meant for anyone. You don't have to have spoken ever in your entire life anywhere in order to get onto that stage. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a book. You don't have to have anything except the desire to make a difference in the world by sharing your message. That is what I see with all of my speakers. When they step onto that red circle and they deliver their talk and they knock it out of the park because they're prepared and because they're confident because of their mindset work and they're memorized and they can play, they literally walk off a different person. And I see it in all of my work in the speaker salon, in the Big Talk Academy. They walk on stage one way and they walk off another. And then they take that into their lives and into their communities and into their families. And they're of even greater service because they're integrated as these powerful leaders and speakers. What I would suggest to never do is if there's a sound issue, stop. Tell them you're starting over. Because that video is what is going to live. And I give all of my speakers permission. Nobody tells you this. If there is something wrong on stage, stop, ask to start again. They will 99.999% say yes. They fix their tech issues. You start over and now you've got an amazing video.
Amazing, because we've all seen it, right? We've all seen the poor video or the poor audio. I've heard heartbreaking stories from my colleagues who now need to reapply to do their talk somewhere else because of, you know, the output just wasn't what they wanted. And it can really damage your brand instead of enhancing it.
Absolutely.
So I know you have a super vested interest in the speakers that you work with. What are some of the successes that you're most proud of? Is there a story that comes to mind of someone that just lights up your heart and you're just beaming with pride over what happened?
Oh my goodness. One of my very first friends, colleagues, Mari Carmen Pizarro, she and I have remained extremely tight. We're very, very close friends and colleagues. And when I was the executive producer of TEDx Lincoln Square, I had such a fondness for her and I knew what she was capable of and she didn't yet. And she applied and I reached out personally and I said, not quite, try again. And she applied again, closer, not quite, try again. She applied 5 times before I said yes. And I feel it in my body right now. Being able to honestly say yes to her was what I was hoping for. And when it actually happened, it was the most amazing. She gave me such a gift because I knew it was possible for her. I knew she had it in her, but I wasn't going to do it for her. She needed to do it for herself and she did. And that was one of the most amazing things that I ever experienced.
I know how excited I am to take your speaker salon. I really can't wait. It's because I just, from what I've seen of you, from every time I speak with you, you have incredible talent to bring out the talent of the speakers that you work with. And and the fact that you bring the full production together makes you unique, really, in this entire marketplace. So I'm sure there are people who are listening to this podcast, or maybe they've seen a clip of these videos, and they'd love to work with you to become a more powerful speaker or to get on a TED stage. How does that all happen?
Super easy. You can reach out to me at my website, trishabrook.com. Also, you could go to thespeakersalon.com. And I would love to offer your listeners a chapter of my book, The Influential Voice, by going to theinfluentialvoicebook.com/chapter.
And we'll post all of those links in the show notes so that you can just grab them there. And Trisha, thank you so much. I mean, it's been a very special time for me. Someone who used to lose my voice when I was in front of a microphone. I'd lose all thought. My voice would be shaky. To be able to do a podcast, to be able to do the number of webinars that I do was trained work. It was getting over that fear, getting over that judgment. And so if I can do it, anyone can do it. And I am dying to take this to the next level and go further with you, my friends. So thank you very much for joining us on Life After Corporate today. And for the rest of our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review or a rating on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're connecting to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to reach out at Trisha at the links we provide and watch as she produces more TEDx speakers that are wowing the TED stage. Thank you so much, Trisha. It's been great having you here.
Thank you so much, Deb. I appreciate you.
All right. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.